Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Logical Soul Talk. My name is Michael Craig, and I'm your host for this exciting weekly talk radio program where I get to interview the best, brightest, and most creative people in the world about the innermost workings of their minds and how they achieve their successes. You see, I was a chiropractor for many years and discovered that most people, including myself, have an underlying pattern of hidden decisions that we made as small children or picked up from our parents, teachers, or even our ancestors. And these subconscious decisions form our reality and affect our destiny. And by accident, a few years ago, I discovered that I could access and change these hidden decisions to allow amazing results to happen in my own and other people's lives. And you can read up on these discoveries, case histories, and more at www.logicalsoul.com or logicalsoul.com/blog. The guests on my show were selected not because they're familiar with my work, in fact, many aren't, but because they have obviously made some strong decisions in their own lives that led them to their current success in life. And my goal in having them on this show is to probe a little bit and discover their pattern of life decisions turning points. And this will allow you as my listeners to perhaps pick up some special nuggets that you can add to your motivation and nourish your own seeds of success. And listen to the show with an open mind. After about 10 or 15 minutes, I invite you to call in with your comments and questions. Our number is 347-843-4544. That's area code 347-843-4544, or you can use your handset to call in from our website at blogtalkradio.com/logicalsoul. And I'm very honored today. My guest on the show is Rhonda Del Baccio. Rhonda is an award-winning author, transformational speaker, and mentor known globally as the Story Lady. She has a lifelong love of stories and a talent in bringing out the stories in others. In fact, I credit Rhonda with helping me formulate and write my own book, The Logical Soul, soon to be published in print. Since I've worked with her this past year, Rhonda has apparently developed some powerful new writing templates that she shares with her clients, who are authors, coaches, and business owners, to help them tell more powerful stories as part of their writing and teaching. Rhonda is the co-author of the book, I'll Push, You Steer, The Definitive Guide to Stumbling Through Life with Blinders On. And a new book that she's finishing up, Instant Credibility, will also be out this year. And she is the co-host of an international radio show, Relationships Marketing 101, and host of Empowering Stories Radio. I got to tell you, Rhonda, what you've accomplished is remarkable in and of itself. And I must also mention to my listeners that you are also legally blind. I know I speak for many when I say, like, wow. Now I'm going to put you on the spot a little and ask you, what was it about your early life that instilled perhaps a decision to plot ahead no matter what the obstacles that arise?
Perhaps, Michael, it's simply that I faced more obstacles and do face still more obstacles on a daily basis than most people do. And when you're faced with what some might call an obstacle or a challenge, there are a couple of choices and probably
Excuse me,
a very...
I'm sorry. Speak up. Let me hear your outside voice. We've sort of got a connection
that
comes
grief.
In and out. So,
okay, I was practically
I
was practically shouting before, but I'll do it even more now.
I got you. Sorry about that, but let's see what we can do with this. Go ahead. Sorry for the interruption.
I face more challenges on any given day than most people do simply because I have to adapt almost everything that I do. Looking at a computer that you guys that have eyesight just take for granted, you just go and you look at the screen and whatever, and it's really funny because a lot of times there are things that I will notice and I have to use adaptive software to read a screen. There are things mm-hmm. that I will notice more than anyone else.
Right. Like what?
Well, like it, just because I am so observant, because I really have to be as a blind person. I have
right.
to pay
you
attention.
To. Right. That's very true.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So what I consider is that there are gifts of blindness. There are gifts because I have chosen to perceive them as gifts and not to say, oh, woe is me, I can't do this. I have found the gifts of persistence, the gifts of self-development, the gifts of adaptability, creativity, thinking on my feet, and strategizing that I have developed simply because of being legally blind and having to adapt almost everything in my day.
I've heard that's true, that people who have a handicap in one area of life generally develop a keener sense in other areas, like keener hearing, for example. You probably observe inflections in voices more than others, various touch, sensations, things of that nature are probably very developed in you. Am I correct?
Well, yes, except that it's not some kind of a secret switch that because the vision is down, the hearing is up. It's simply that I pay much more attention. So while I cannot make eye contact with people, I can make ear contact.
Gotcha, right, right. And you're very good at it, by the way. You were my mentor for a while with Glenn Dietzel's group, and you were always that friendly voice on the other end of the phone, always encouraging and always positive. And I got to say, you really helped me get focused and channel my energies and come up with some good stuff. So I wanted to thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. You have some great material. It's such fun to help and to watch the light bulbs go on for people and assist you in bringing out your greatness. That, for me, is a thrill.
Well, I wanted to ask you, you've been legally blind all your life, is that correct?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So, essentially, you started out, as you said in your bio, you were listening to a lot of... You were interested in stories from a very early age. Obviously, you weren't distracted by a lot of the visuals that young children are, and I guess the stories became your world. Tell me a little bit about that and what decisions came about as a result of that experience in life.
Storytelling came as much from my creativity, more so even than listening to stories, although that's great too. I used to make up stories with my toys and stuffed animals and so forth ever since I was a toddler. My parents never taught me to do it, and I would do this independently. So I loved creating stories, creating different scenarios that could come up. And mm-hmm. What I find in stories is there are so many truths and so many interesting things that you can say in a story that if you say it directly as a teaching, often will go right past people. And as I grew up later on, discovered how powerful storytelling is for your business and for your life.
Right. I know that this was a very powerful teaching aid, even going back as far as the ancient Greeks. I mean, Aesop's fables, for example, was a way of transmitting knowledge and even Plato used the cave analogy. A lot of analogies I know have been present throughout history in stories and also the myths and the legends that arose, and those seem to have the most the longest shelf life, so to speak. Now, how do you?
Yeah,
how do you,
they do.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say they really do. Mhm.
Okay, I'm sorry, we're sort of overlapping here. I just wanted to ask you how you normally work with people, because I know you were encouraging me to write stories and everybody to sort of tell, as you said, your million-dollar story. Tell me a little bit about that, how everybody has this type of story and how they can develop this, or what they could do to start out to look for that.
Actually, I have a free page on my blog that anyone can look at, and I'll give you the address in just a minute. But the idea is that every one of you, you, Michael, every listener, you are a hero in the making. You are on a hero's journey. Your choice, as always, is whether you accept the challenge and go through all the trials and tribulations that come with becoming your greatest possible self, or whether you just decide to pull the blankets over your head and call it a day. But you have it within you, and when you have a burning desire, a passion, a story to tell, it's because you're meant to bring it out of you. And so on profitablestorytelling.com, my website, there is a page called Storytelling Templates, And on the Storytelling Templates page, you will find several of these little recipes for stories, including the story of you or your core story and how you can develop that and share it with people and realize the power in your own, often in your pain and in your trials and tribulations and in your difficulties.
Right. Yeah, I know, speaking from experience, that, you know, when I was coming up with my story, I was thinking, well, you know, I grew up in the suburbs. I didn't have any terrific obstacles to speak of. And I mean, there were things that happened, certainly, but I didn't consider them to be out of the ordinary. I guess that's one of those things that, because we live so close to our life, we don't consider our lives to be extraordinary, whereas maybe somebody else might if we told it a certain way, huh?
Exactly. I know somebody, in fact, it's my mother's husband, and he often has considered that he is not intelligent because in the way of book learning and of schooling, he would not be considered intelligent. He has also reading disabilities. However, he is absolutely brilliant at anything regarding tools. One day I went to their house and he had the clothes dryer in pieces all over the room with these little parts on newspapers and whatever. And I said, did it explode or something? And he said, no, it stopped working. And he had taken it apart to figure out what was wrong. He found the part that was broken, looked it up, ordered it from a catalog, and it was going to be on its way. And then when this part came in, he reassembled the whole dryer properly, and it worked. To me, that was magic. Absolute magic. I could not do that.
Right, right. We all have our talents, and we all have the places that we fit in. Reminds
right.
me of a story about the guy who was... I think it's Stuart Wilde told a story about the guy who had the talent for military uniforms, and he wasn't too bright upstairs, but he knew everything about military uniforms, and he would watch these movies, and he would notice that they wouldn't match. The uniforms wouldn't match the tanks, which wouldn't match the period what the war was supposed to be going on, and so he just started writing these movie producers and telling them, hey, look, you know, when the SS officer comes over the hill, he's wearing a 1941 insignia when this was supposed to be like 1939 or something like that, you know. And so he was like, you know, he didn't know much about anything else, but he became a millionaire because these movie studios started hiring him as an expert to get, you know, so they get their uniforms right and their equipment and things like that. So
awesome.
I think each of us have a story or I guess a talent that stems or comes from a story, really. That we could start using to promote ourselves and write our books. So when you say you've got these templates, now you basically work with people in writing, is that correct? Or is there some other sources or other means that you help people develop their stories and bring it out to the world?
Well, I do work with people who want to write, but mostly I'm working with business owners who sometimes people have heard that stories sell and facts tell, and they realize they need to tell a story but don't know how, and they'll come to me and I'll help you to develop it in writing or for when you're speaking or whatever. Mostly I'm working with business owners, not so much authors who already have written books or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of fun to help bring out those stories and to even give people a system for writing a book in such a way that it grows your reputation and grows your business.
Right, right. I know that, you know, people will come up to you and say, you know, if you're an author, it's like you have a certain mystique, and there's a certain aura that goes along with that. Whether or not, you know, the book said much or anything, or whether or not they've read it, just the fact that you're an author, people will normally look at you just a little bit differently than they would otherwise. Now, how did you get started? How did you get started in the teaching mode? Was there something that happened early on, Rhonda, that got you into teaching or got you into mentoring or sharing your ideas with others? What happened that put you on that path?
You know what? I cannot think of a specific event that brought out the teacher in me or whatever. I can only think of that I have that natural tendency to be a teacher, and as all of us have, like Bruce has a natural tendency to be good with tools, and I have it for teaching and things like that. I think it was really more so that I can't remember a specific moment, and I never really wanted to be a school teacher. So it's not like I wanted to be a school teacher and then got into business mentoring. It was really that I had been a natural teacher. I've always loved writing. Ended up doing some writing on the job, some writing of stories and whatever, and then ultimately came to this point of working from home, which I absolutely adore, and really discovering the business strategist inside me that I never knew was there once I started to learn about marketing and business and other kinds of things, and really bringing those two together with the storytelling, the writing, and business.
So who was the impetus for that, or what was the first step, I guess, you took in terms of teaching or putting yourself out there big time?
Well, my first, for teaching, I did some of that as a part of other jobs that I did where I wasn't a teacher as such, but I taught independent living skills to people who were had disabilities at one place. I taught college for 7 years, so I have actually been in both directly and indirectly paid as a teacher. That was at a college in mostly teaching adult learners. Did that for 7 years and really loved it. And what happened was when I made the decision that I really wanted to write books, and I was sick of hearing about the broke author and get used to poverty and those kinds of things, I just flat out said, why should that be acceptable? Why should I accept that as my reality? There has to be a way to learn to become profitable with writing and all of these things. And what's really funny now is people who laugh and go, yeah, storytelling, how are you going to make a living out of storytelling and writing books and that sort of thing? And that's exactly what I'm doing, and it really does work.
Okay, so how much of a following have you built up? I know you have quite a Twitter and Facebook following, and you've developed quite a following there. How has your empire grown, I guess I should ask?
How's my empire? If there's any empire, it's my, you know, my desire is always to serve people better and more strongly. I have, let's see, over 9,500 people on Twitter following me, and I'm not sure about Facebook, 1,500
that's
or something like that.
Yeah, well, that's very respectable.
Yeah.
So the Del Baccio empire is growing as we speak.
The power of the story, rock!
I know that you're very personable, and because you have some really neat stories, I particularly like your videos that you put out where you say, well, here... You know, here's the day in Missouri, and here are my chickens, and, you know.
Oh, yes.
The videos of your chickens are always never cease to amaze me. So. I had a lot of fun. So was there anything I guess I'm just looking for, you know, as my title suggests, Logical Soul is about decisions and turning points in one's life, and I guess you can't, it was sort of like with you, it seems like a seamless flow, like a natural tendency that just sort of blossomed as you grew older, and there wasn't any particular turning point, per se, that you can point to and say, this is what happened that changed this.
Yeah, not for teaching, I can't. However, when I made that decision to be a profitable author, the first thing that I did was to get some mentoring, and that really changed things, and I quickly ended up being a mentor for the person who had mentored me for his program, and that's how you and I met. And from there, it was really that I started to go beyond what I had learned there and learn a lot about the social marketing and develop the tendency towards teaching and service into a business model that works really well and that attracts these amazing people into my life. And it was from that decision that I started to learn a whole new set of skills that I discovered that marketing can be a lot of fun and business can truly serve people and not just look for a way just to be money grubbing or whatever, that it truly can and should, in its best, serve people and allow people to develop themselves and allow people to have a vehicle to get to your dreams. And so that decision that I made in the spring 3 years ago was really what got me into doing as much as I'm doing online. And I will say it is a little more challenging because I have to use screen reading speech technology to read the screen. These programs are inferior at best. And if a sighted person had to pay as much for a program you use every day as we blind people have to pay for adaptive software, the price would come down dramatically and quickly. So,
yeah, I can imagine. Right, I can imagine. A bit of a challenge for you there. I know it has been. You know, as I said, I sort of take for granted when I send you an email or whatever that that you're going to be able to read it. I thought maybe you had some magnifying capabilities or some sight or something. But I guess basically you've got the email has to talk to you. Is that correct?
Yes, I get the speech program will allow the emails or the whatever program to talk to me reasonably well with certain caveats, but it does pretty well for many things. There are online forms can be tough. Those little CAPTCHA codes where you have to put in the numbers or letters, those are, I snarl a lot when I see those. So there are some challenges. However, overall, I am so very grateful for technology because it does allow me, because of the phone and the computer, to work out of my country home in Missouri and talk to people all over the world and mentor people all over the world at any particular given time. And years ago, that would never have been possible because the technology simply did not exist.
Yeah, I know. You're also very adept at doing videos, I've noticed. Do you get someone else to edit your videos, or how do you do that yourself?
I have to put my face really close to the screen if I have to actually edit something. I try to just do them once through and really clean, and I do not do much editing. I also figure if something is a little less than perfect, well, so are all of us humans. So I don't get hung up on perfection. I wrote this blog post one time because I had this kind of a knockdown dragout with a perfectionist. And a perfectionist will say that someone who is sort of a take action, revise later type of person like myself might say that, well, you're not professional enough. You should have better attention to detail and all that. And someone who is a TARL, a take action, revise later, will say, you just need to get something out there, get started, get it moving. You can always adapt later. Things are going to change. There's no such thing as perfection anyway, so get over yourself and get moving. So there will always be this little dichotomy going, and I wrote a blog post about that. I think made a couple of people pretty mad, but I didn't name names, so hey.
Well, you've got good company. I know Mike Littman, you probably know him or heard of him.
Yes.
Who's very, very successful, and he always says, you don't need to get it right, you just need to get it going. And
that's right.
When I heard that, I just sort of looked at my own life and going, you know, I've been a little bit obsessive compulsive during my life, and it really helped to open my mind somewhat. And I basically created a whole e-course just on the first take, which was, for me, unacceptable normally because I was doing stuff.
Woo-hoo!
Thank you. I actually did that, you know, last year. It's been up for a while.
That's great, because I know you really fought against that, wanting to have everything be just right, and I'm sure your course was better than it most people could do anyway. Other people probably look at it and go, wow, that's amazing, and you're looking at all what's wrong. Others are seeing what's right.
Right. Well, what opened my eyes was when Mike Littman, as I said, he made the statement that you're 70% is someone else's 90% or 95%. And that's sort of like, oh, okay.
Right.
I can go with 90%, you know. And because, yeah, it's so easy because we're so close to it, because we see it so well, or so used to it or intimate with our own work, it's very difficult to sort of let it go. And I notice I'm still doing this with my book. I've written my e-book. It's been out there for a while, but I'm still, like, putting the final touches on it and, you know, procrastinating getting the whole thing out there, although I have had a goal of, you know, getting it out there by the end of the month, regardless of what I've got. So,
yeah, I'm going to crack the licorice whip on you otherwise, so that's great.
Please do. I will have it out there. I'm going to have it to the publisher by the end of the month, so that's my goal. So, fantastic, Rhonda. Is there anything else you want to share? We've got about 4 minutes here. Anything, any words of wisdom you want to share with people about overcoming obstacles or adversity?
I want you to believe that if you have any desire, if you have any natural talent or whatever, it's because you are indeed meant to bring it out. And a very interesting thing about nature is that 10% of all the plants in the world have an aroma, smell, like the rose. Those plants that have an aroma, that is their immune system, their defense system. The strongest plants have actually been through the most difficult season. So the best quality of rose or lavender or anything else has actually been through the toughest season. That is the finest quality. It has developed the best possible self, is the most healing because of all the trials and tribulations. The tests that you go through can make you stronger because you would not have become that type of person without the challenges to test you into growing.
Right, right. I know
and
that
I would
what doesn't
love,
kill me will make me stronger. Yeah.
Yeah, sort of, but, you know,
yeah.
But it makes you develop skills you never would have had. It's not only about making you stronger. It's that you are then more strongly able to be who you are, to share your particular essence, your particular aroma with the rest of the world.
That's great. I know that the same happens with wine. And, you know, when they talk about wine vineyards, a lot of times they deliberately don't water them or keep them in a rough environment just because the best grapes came about because of that. Listen, Rhonda, we've only got a minute or so here. I wanted you to mention your book one more time and also your website so people can get in touch with you, and we'll go from there.
Great. My website is profitablestorytelling.com. And on the right, if you want to check out the book Instant Credibility at instantcredibilitybook.com, or you can click on the book that you'll see over there on the right, I invite you to come write me a note. I am at the Story Lady on Twitter, and I look forward to speaking with you, and thank you so much, Michael.
Well, thank you so much, Rhonda, for being on the show. You're an excellent guest, speaker, and teacher, and I really value your input. Let's see, we've got one more minute here, and I just wanted to mention that next week we're going to have a fascinating person. I don't know if you heard of him, Rhonda, but his name is Raymond Aron, who is a fascinating person. So join me next week, this time, Tuesday at 6 p.m. on Logical Soul Talk, where my guest will be my good friend and mentor. He's also a mentor currently, Raymond Aron. Raymond went from being broke at age 39 to one of the most successful men in North America by age 65. By simply being outrageous in all areas of his life. I mean, the man has walked to the North Pole 350 miles carrying all this stuff. He rides a unicycle. I can't even go on about all the stuff he's done, but this is a show truly that you won't want to miss. So join us. And I'm Michael Craig, and this is Logical Soul Talk. Actually, we've got just a minute here, so I'm going to...
Oh, cool.
Sing and dance and, you know, ask if you have anything. Well, here comes the music now, so let's just say end on a stable note here. And thank you so much, Rhonda, for joining us, and I'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you.
Join us next week. We have